I want to share with you about three things: mercy, grace, and love. Three things that in our life we cannot do without: mercy, grace, and love. And you know, they're wonderful themes throughout the scriptures, right from the beginning of the Word of God, right through to the end in Revelation. You just see it. But you know, God has chosen some of the situations that we have in life, some of our worst situations, some of the bad things that have happened to us, and He has chosen by His love, mercy, and grace to change those things into blessings. Only God can do that. Sometimes in childhood or our teenage years or in your early marriage years, there are lots of hard, hurtful things that happen. Life happens. Stuff happens. But you know what? Even Jesus can turn our worst disaster into a blessing by His love, by His mercy, and by His grace. Amen? Who's experienced God's love, mercy, and grace? I hope we all have. If you haven't, then tonight you're in the right place. You can experience His love and His mercy and His grace. And I tell you, after you experience those three attributes of God, your life will never be the same. Never be the same. Amen. You cannot take away the things that have happened in our life. We can't change that. What has happened has happened. We can't change it. But God can heal the pain. We know that by His love, by His mercy, and His grace. And He heals us from the inside out. It's not just a band-aid on the top of a festering sore or a festering hurt. He changes us from the inside out. Praise the Lord. God has done that through Jesus, who became a curse for us that we might inherit His blessings. He sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world. In John 3:17, it says, but that the world through Him should have eternal life. And that's our promise tonight. Because of His love, because of His mercy, and because of His grace, we can have eternal life. His promise to us is that in all things we'll work together for good. It doesn't say that all things will be good, because life is not always good. But He has promised us that in all things we'll work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's in Romans 8. And this is where my message starts. One of the most powerful ways that we can experience God's love, mercy, and grace is if you read the book of, or not read the book of, but if you look at the life of Mephibosheth. Did I sound right there, Kim? Mephibosheth. Everybody say Mephibosheth. Because you see how hard it is to say that word, that name? Whoever called their child Mephibosheth? My goodness. So when I falter, you can understand how hard it is, all right? Mephibosheth. But if you read the story of Mephibosheth, you see nothing but love, mercy, and grace. And I want to, if I have to title my message tonight, it says, everything changes when the King comes calling. Everything in your life will change when the King comes calling. Amen, Brother Bill? Everything in your life changes when the King, King Jesus, calls us. So just to give you a little bit of background, if you're not all that familiar with it, it starts in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David had successfully built and restored the tabernacle containing the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. This city had now become a center of worship for the nation again. There had come peace at last in that city. And King David, several years had passed since he had become king, but he still missed his friend Jonathan. They had grown up together, and they had gone through many things together. And most of you would know that Jonathan, the son of King Saul, died on the battlefield with his father. But Jonathan and David had a very strong relationship, as they had gone through many things together. But But David had never forgotten the covenant. Everybody say covenant. A covenant is not a contract. A covenant is a covenant. It's a promise that you can't break. And David had never forgotten that covenant promise that he had made with Jonathan. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 15, Jonathan says to David, "Treat my family with this faithful love. Even when the Lord destroys all your enemies, David, from the face of the earth. Even when life becomes so easy for you, David, don't forget the promise, the covenant that you've made." So Jonathan made a solemn promise with David at saying, "May the Lord destroy all your enemies." And Jonathan and David reaffirmed his vow. Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again. For Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. Though David had suffered greatly because of Saul's, that's Jonathan's father, he had jealous rages, and David suffered terribly because of those things and his anger and his ambushment and his plots to kill David. David, as king, did not retaliate to Saul's family. He did not tolerate any abusive things that would happen to the family. But still, David wanted to honor the covenant promise that he had made. He wanted to show love, mercy, and grace to the family of King Saul, in other words, Jonathan's family as well. Now, what happened here, a little bit of background. Word had come to the palace that King Saul and his son had died on the battlefield. And in those days, when a king was deposed from the throne, then the whole family were killed because that would ensure that there would not be an uprising against the new king or the sitting king. So that's what had happened. And Mephibosheth, everybody say Mephibosheth. You're doing good. He was 5 years old and he didn't understand what had happened. His father had been killed. His grandfather had been killed. But his nurse in that house, she grabbed up this five-year-old and she wrapped him in her arms and she ran and ran and ran. Or she pulled him along until he couldn't run, and then she picked him up and she ran some more. But you know what? He fell over, or she fell over, and she dropped him. Mephibosheth flew out of her arms and landed hard on his back. He didn't feel the pain in his back right away, and his nurse, weeping, she picked him up. He looked okay, but every time she tried to stand him up, he would just fall because he was lame on his feet. I presume his back had been broken. But she had one desire, and that was to get Mephibosheth into hiding. Otherwise, he would be killed. So it was a short time later that she discovered that he was hurt real bad. In exhaustion, she put him on the ground, hoping that he would walk, but he couldn't. He would just fall on the ground. She begged him to stand up, but he couldn't. His back broken, his feet, his legs were useless. He was lame on his feet. Now that's a little bit of background. Many years have passed, and we pick up the story again in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David inquired of his servants and said, David said, "Is there anyone left belonging to the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan, his friend's sake?" And there was in the house of Saul a servant named Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." David was told that Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Jonathan, was alive and living near Jerusalem. So David, in wanting to reach out, he ordered that Mephibosheth be brought into the palace. The king called for Mephibosheth. I want you to remember that. When the king calls, everything changes. And when Mephibosheth arrived, he was probably extremely nervous because he was very uncertain of the consequences of the king calling him or what the king's intentions were. The descendants, as I said before, were supposed to have been slain so that there would not be so an uprising. So I imagine that Mephibosheth was very fearful from the king calling him. Why does the king want to see him? Mephibosheth had been hiding and living in a place called Lodibar, meaning, everybody say Lodibar. Lodibar means a place of no future, Matthew. Cheeky. Lodibar means a place of no pasture, no sustenance, and no word. He was living in a place of doom and gloom, a place of destitute. He was living disgracefully because he once was a part of the royal family, but now he is exiled. So he was living in a place called Lodibar. And without even looking up, Mephibosheth answered, "Your servant." And King David said, "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the lands that belong to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth couldn't believe what he was hearing. He glanced up to see if, in fact, it was King David speaking. And it was. He quickly put his face to the ground, waiting for the sword. But it didn't happen. And then he said to David, King David, he said, "Who am I that you should notice a dead dog like me?" A dead dog is an outcast. He felt like he was a stray dog. Nobody wanted him. He was lame on his feet. He heard King David making Ziba, Mephibosheth's servant. And not only Ziba, but all the servants that belonged to Ziba's family, that belonged to Saul's family in the beginning. Everything was restored when the king called for Mephibosheth. Such mercy, such love, and such grace. And I've heard this morning many times in our message that David was a man after God's own heart. I know why David was called a man after God's own heart, because he showed great love, great mercy, and great grace. Mephibosheth was given a position of honor with the king at the table. He was forever allowed to eat at the king's table. Some of us here today may find ourselves in a place called Lodibar. Doom, gloom, no joy, no word, feeling lonely even though you're in the midst of a crowd. And I think about those words, lonely. My brother, before he took his life, he says, "Dear God, I'm so lonely." And yet when I looked at his life, he had a wife, he had children, he had lots of friends, he had a good workplace. But dear God, I'm so lonely. He couldn't survive the place called Lodibar. How do we end up in Lodibar? Well, sometimes there are bad decisions that can put us there. Sometimes it's bad circumstances that have put us in Lodibar because life just happens. Maybe it was an accident, lame like Mephibosheth through no fault of your own, broken and hurting through no fault of your own. It doesn't really matter how you got to Lodibar, but one thing is for certain, Lodibar is a low point of our life. It's a barren place. Ever been there? Anyone been in a Lodibar when you really find no word? You can't find the voice of God or the mercy of God? It's just not happening. It's a dark, gloomy place. It is certain at one time or another, and it seems like all of us have had or we will experience a Lodibar experience. At some point in our life, Lodibar, that place of gloom and doom, will come to us. Everybody wants to talk about the fruitful places. Oh, you know, the victories and the joys and the overcoming. Oh, we like to talk about those things. The mountaintop experiences, the beautiful places, the enjoyable things in life, especially in our spiritual life. It's easy to talk about mountaintop experiences, the times of blessings, the times of healing, the times of great victories, the times of great anointing. But the truth is, at some point, we will go through a Lodibar. There are hurts. There are painful places. Times when it seems like God doesn't hear us. Times when God doesn't seem to answer us. That dry, desolate place. God will see you through. That's the promise we have from God. He will see us through. But we just need to keep holding on. God is faithful to his word. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's you and I. He has come to seek and to save us. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're in that hard place or you're just holding on by a thread, sustained by the crumbs. Better to have that than give up altogether. There comes seasons in life when you just need to hold on. I know when I lost my brother, you know, that dark, dark time when you would pray and you're like, I know, God, I know you hear me, but I really like to know that you can hear me. The word of God says when we call upon him, he will answer us. But when I was in that dark place, I didn't feel like anyone could hear. I had to hold on. I had to hold on to what I knew. I had to read the word of God. I would read it, and sometimes it just hardly made any sense to me. I would come to the house of God, and I could not even feel the presence and the power of God. But I was holding on because I knew that if I would hold on long enough, I would be come out of my Lodibar and I would go to the palace. Amen. I was saying recently that I believe with God there are five seasons. There's the summer, the autumn, the winter, the spring. But with God, if you read the scripture, it talks about a due season. And you will reap if you don't faint in a due season. That means there will be that time when you will come through. That due season, D-U-E is the word. And all of us will go through a due season, a time of unsettledness. But we don't give up because just like the natural seasons pass, the due season will pass. This season will follow that season. There'll be another season. So we don't give up. But I want to tell you today that if you are a child of God, if you have been washed in his blood and taken his name in baptism, then guess what? You are royalty. Then you have a place at the palace. Before the Lord, he spreads a table in the presence of our enemies. He will spread that table, a banqueting table. And you know what the banner over the banqueting table is? It's a banner of love. Mercy and grace. What is your Lodibar? What is your dark place or your desert place or your barren place? Maybe a sickness. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe lost a loved one. Maybe a marriage problem. Maybe family situations. Your Lodibar might be a financial crisis. Maybe you walked away from God and you're feeling like a dry desert place. Maybe you've forsaken God's word. But I want to say Mephibosheth was restored from the barren place, from the Lodibar, where there was no voice, no pasture, no word. He was restored from that place to the palace. Because when the king called, He answered. And when the king calls us, if we will answer him, everything will change. So God will restore you today. Whether you are lost in sin and far from God, or whether you are just in a barren place and just holding on, when God calls, when the king calls you and you answer, you will be restored back to the palace. Amen. You know, we're all crippled in some way. We've all got something, whether it's because of something we've done or something that has happened to us. We have all got something. But when the king calls, all things are restored by his love, by his mercy, and his grace. So all is well today, because guess what? The king is calling you, and he wants to restore, and he wants to make all things new in your life. We can be reconciled to God. We can have peace with God. We can be restored in our life. We can be restored to that newness of life when old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. And like I said before, it doesn't mean the hurts just disappear. No, but the pain of those things can disappear by his love, by his mercy, and by his grace. When the king calls, when King Jesus calls us, he has called us to be a part of that royal priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation. Say, chosen generation. Say, I am a chosen generation. I want you to believe tonight what the Word of God says. I am simple enough to read that and says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that Sudan should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am simple enough to believe the Word of God for you and for me tonight. All things change when the king comes calling. Our King Jesus has called us from Lodibar, our low place, and now we have the privilege of living in the palace all the days of our life. And then we can be like King David in Psalm 103, verse 1. He says, oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeemeth your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth will be renewed like the eagle. David did not care about Mephibosheth's limp. David was not put off by the limp or the disability that Mephibosheth had. He didn't look down on him for that. David accepted Mephibosheth, limp and all. And tonight I say to you, our God will accept us, limp and all. As for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table for the rest of his days. That was the promise. And he would eat like a king's kid. And I think king's kids are spoiled kids. They probably got everything they want. But you know what? When we sit at that table, those crutches, those things that we've held on to in life because we've been in a dark Lodibar place, our handicaps, our limitations, our past failures, our sins, none of this will cause God to disown us, because when we sit at the table, we are covered by his love, by his mercy, and his grace. And you know what? We get to sit with fellowship with him, and we get to sit at the table of honor with the king. So we need to put our trust in God. He will see us through. He will restore and he will bless you. And today the king is calling you. He wants you to come up to the palace. If you feel like you've been living in a place of Lodibar, he wants to draw you closer to himself. He is calling you because he wants to restore you. He wants you to feed from his banqueting table where there is everything spread before him. If you want life, If you want your strength renewed like the eagle, then you need to come to the banqueting table where his banner over us is love, mercy, and grace. Hallelujah. Our crippled condition, we are in a royal position. To God be all the glory. He declares that we are overcomers. He declares that we are his beloved. He declares that we are victorious because of his love, because of his mercy, and because of his grace. We have everything we need when we sit at the banqueting table with King Jesus. Once Mephibosheth's feet were under the table, he was indistinguishable from anyone else. He sat in that place of honor. And sometimes, you know, I thought about this, even after salvation, even after we've tasted from the table that the Lord has prepared for us, we still suffer some things. We still have to battle. And I wrote down some things here. Some have to battle with low self-esteem. Some still battle with that feeling of, I don't feel worthy. Some still suffer shame. Some still feel doomed. But at the table the Lord has spread for us, we have all that we would ever need. Doesn't matter what your need is, it's at the table the Lord has spread for us. And as we sit at his banqueting table, the King's banqueting table, we are covered with his banner of love, mercy, and grace. Just like the prodigal son, when he returned, when he came to his senses and he went back to the father's house, one of the things that the father put upon him was his cloak. Bring the new coat. And I like to think about that. If you put a coat on, it covers the shame. It covers the places where he's been. And that was prepared by the Father. And that's prepared for us. When we are sitting at that banquet table with our feet under there, the tablecloth coming down, and, you know, we don't look any different. We are not lamed or maimed in the presence of the King. We are equal. There are many things that I have not figured out in life, but there is one thing for certain. And I know that when everything changes, when the King comes calling. And you know how nearly, 46, 47 years ago, when he came knocking at my door, at the door of my heart, everything changed. Did my situations change? No. But inside there was a living hope. Inside I felt like I could read the Word of God and it would encourage me. I knew that when I was in baptism, old things are passed away and behold, everything became new. I could rise in that newness of life. I didn't have to carry around the shame or the limp or have the crutches anymore because God had called me. When the King comes calling, everything changes. He came knocking on my heart's door, and when I responded to him, he came in, he changed everything. And he longs to do the same for each of us today. Some of us have never been saved. Some of us don't know what it is to experience the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. But tonight, I tell you, there's a banqueting table that is spread for you to enjoy love, mercy, and grace. There is the Savior who loves us. King Jesus is calling us. And I'm just about done. But the Lord has sent his word to call you to come to the palace. Come out of that dry, barren place, that place of Lodibar, whether you don't know the love of God or whether you have just gone back from the love of God. Tonight, the King is calling. The Lord sent his word to call you to come to the palace. And then the Bible says in Isaiah, the wilderness and the solitary place and the desert. Some of us go through life and it feels like a wilderness. We can't see which way to go. A solitary place. We feel like we're very alone in this life that we are living. Or a desert place. They shall rejoice and the blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God when you answer the king's call. The Bible also goes on to say that we can trade today. We can trade our ashes for beauty. We can trade our mourning for joy, the oil of joy. We can trade our spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. If you are sick of living in a dry and desert place, then cry out to God, because the King is calling you and he wants you to answer him. Let's stand together. I just want to ask you today, what will you do? Have you felt through the word of God tonight that the King is calling you to come from your dry place or your place of Lodibar? Have you felt him drawing you closer to himself? The gospel takes a man from a so low place and places him so high in the presence of the King. Once we were crippled, our feet are under the table, we can function as royalty. And I say to you tonight, come into relationship with the King. Because the Lord has made a covenant. He wants to save all. The Bible says he didn't come to for the righteous ones, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're feeling lost tonight, the King is calling you. King Jesus is calling you. No different today to what it was years ago. He is calling us to come out of Lodibar and come in to the palace. And I want you to know tonight, when you answer the call, just like Mephibosheth did, everything will change. But only if you answer the knock, that when he is calling you. Thank you, Brother Joel. If you feel tonight that you would like us to pray with you, these altars are open. Even if you just feel like you just want to come and commit yourself to God, these altars are open for you tonight.